It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Mylo's Rewards or a Mylo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, back this week with Bruce Levine, talking baseball 9 to 11 like we do every Saturday morning. Today, reacting to two pretty good victories by the Cubs and the White Sox on Friday night, and hoping that everything as Soldier Field this weekend goes all too well for all the Swifties in town for the extravaganza on the lakefront. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, David. It didn't go too well for me returning from the ballpark on the south side home toward the north side. It wasn't Swift at all, okay? It wasn't the Skokie Swift. It wasn't Chicago Swift. It was Taylor Swift messing with my timeline and my day, okay? I'm an older person. I don't have that kind of time to waste, all right? Just saying. 66,000 fans were happy she was there. This one, not so thrilled.
Okay, Bruce, I'm glad we got that out of the way, because now you're going to be happy. You're not going to be grumpy, and I'm not even going to be able to put you in a bad mood, because we've got some good baseball to talk about. Friday night, look, on the south side, the White Sox really had a pretty good game and a victory over the Detroit Tigers, who were in town. You have to like 3-0 shutouts. And then if you stayed up late and you know that you might have been listening to The Score, watching on the Marquee Sports Network, the Cubs had a dramatic victory over the San Diego Padres. Good ninth inning from Mark Leiter Jr. You had excellent pitching by Adbert Alzolay, clutch hitting by Dansby Swanson. Bruce, victory for the Cubs, 3-0 victory for the White Sox, a good Friday night for Chicago baseball. We needed that.
You know, good pitching has been a part of what's been going on for both teams for the last couple of weeks here. The Cubs have won some games, and probably because up until Tampa came into town, David, they were 2-10 in one-run games, okay? So all of a sudden, the last four, they lost one, but they won three others, okay? Two against arguably the best team in baseball in Tampa. So when you look at the White Sox and you look at the Cubs, and I guess this is for you, our great listeners, 312-644-6767. How much really separates the best teams from the very average teams like we think the Cubs are and like we think the White Sox have been playing? How much separates them, David, in your mind, between the two? I mean, I have a hard time figuring it. I watch all these games every day. I'm at a game every day. And I still can't tell you if the Cubs have the ability to be a good team, if the White Sox are going to be a good team in a bad division or a good team in the American League. I have trouble with it.
It's an excellent question to ask here at the beginning of June after just getting past the Memorial Day mile marker of every baseball season. 312-644-6767. Let's set up the show for you today. We're going to talk to Ken Hawk Harrelson at the bottom of the hour, 9:30. Hawk will join us, talk about the White Sox, the future for this group, maybe the future for, you know, whether Jerry Reinsdorf should sell the team, as Hawk has suggested. We also will talk to Gordon Wintmeyer, formerly of the Chicago Sun-Times and NBC Sports Chicago, friend of The Score, longtime contributor, moving on to a new job out of town. We want to get Gordon's thoughts on the Cubs and everything else before he leaves town and wish him well. And, Bruce, let's start with, obviously, the questions you asked. I think last night we look at where the Cubs and where the White Sox are. They can tease you into thinking that things are going to be okay. When you look at the White Sox shutting out the Tigers, you might think, boy, where's that been? Boy, if that starting pitching rotation can do that a few more times through, I think it's dangerous to believe in that because I don't know that being the best in a bad division is going to be enough. And that's the same question that the Cubs might be asking themselves because they are only 4.5 games out despite being 25-31 because they play in a bad division. Is that enough, though? Is that enough to put at the top of your qualifications list, Bruce? What's your best credential to consider yourself a playoff team? Well, we play in a lousy division.
You know, when you were talking, David, all your lucid thoughts just prompted me to just think about joy of watching if you're a Cub or a Sox fan. Okay, do you enjoy the games? Are your teams playing good baseball? And in the case of the White Sox, it's been up and back, okay? I think they played a more solid brand of baseball here. They had a winning record in May after a disastrous April, okay? Mm-hmm. Is that good enough? And I brought this up to Kenny Williams yesterday when I was talking to him at the ballpark, and I said, you know, your team has played really interesting baseball since 2020. 2020 and the first part of 21, they were a fun team to watch. Okay, there was a lot of joy watching them. From the middle of 21 on, when they've been less than 500 team, it's been harder for me to enjoy White Sox baseball. Cub baseball has been all over the place, okay? Not sure about that. I think that they're a more solid team this year, just when you throw in the new shortstop, the new second baseman, the new center fielder when he's out there. Adding some pitching here and there, although Tyone really threw his second good start yesterday. That's a good sign. But when I look at Chicago baseball, I look at it and I say, are fans enjoying this? Am I enjoying this style of baseball? And I go up and back. I wonder what your thoughts are.
Well, I think when I'm watching the White Sox, it's very discouraging. I don't think that it's fun to be a Sox fan. I would struggle if I grew up rooting for the team that I think seems to just underachieve out of habit now. And even though we're coming off a good victory last night and we're looking at a month of May where they bounce back a little bit, when we heard from Rick Hahn on Monday before the Memorial Day matchup, I think when he talked about wanting another month to determine the course of this season and by virtue, by extension, the course of this, the direction of the organization, you're buying yourself time that I think represented to me a lowering of the standard. You're buying yourself time. It goes back to what I said at the beginning of this, Bruce. To be the best team in the AL Central is not enough. Whatever happened to the multiple championships? Is this a team that can contend for a pennant? No, it's not. Too flawed, too underachieving, too injury prone, too whatever. So I'm frustrated if I'm watching the White Sox on a consistent basis, yeah, as we do.
I'll tell you this. The Philadelphia Phillies last year were a bad team up until probably July of last year. Mm-hmm. And what you learn from looking at the Phillies last year is that if the White Sox managed to go to the playoffs and win their division, and even in a bad division, with the quality of players they have there, that will be a scary team regardless of who they're playing, because of the fact that they can compete, they can throw out their all-star players, they can throw out their all-star pitchers. Hopefully their all-star closer's on his way back to complete health and the ability to be the adrenaline guy that he is for that team. So I'm saying winning a bad division is not a horrible thing. If you get in, and again, you know, you have six teams in each league now. You get in, Philadelphia was the lowest seed in baseball last year getting in. They go within two games of winning the World Series. So that's something to keep your eye on.
It feels like what you just described is the White Sox method of doing business from 2012 to 2016, before the rebuild, Bruce. It sounds like that patching things together to get through another season, to maybe flirt with the idea of contending, was the business model for too many years. And that's why they hit reset. And I think that they're dangerously close to needing to do that again, only because I don't think that some of the bright spots we saw last night are sustainable. They're inconsistent and they're injury-prone.
I think you're right about one thing that comes to mind, and that is they missed out on Machado. They missed out on Harper. They missed out on the superstar, okay? Does that have an impact on who you are and how you go out there on a daily basis? They have some star players. They have all-star players. They have very good players. But are they missing that one star that takes you to the other level? Are you missing the Kirk Gibson of 1988 or the Kirk Gibson of 1984 for the Tigers, 88 for the Dodgers? Are you missing that element of, hey, we're going to win one way or another. I'm going to be the MVP for the Dodgers in 88, and I'm talking about Gibson, and I'm not going to have 40 home runs. I'm not going to have 100 RBI. I'm just going to be a guy that helps win every day. And, you know, that type of win, you know, the will to win. And we're going to talk to Hawk Harrelson, who came up with that one about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. The will to win on a daily basis, who drives that? And sometimes it appears that's missing with the White Sox.
All right, before we get to the phone lines, let's talk about the Cubs for a second, because you mentioned Jameson Taillon. The Cubs went out and signed him to a $68 million contract, and it took until June 2nd for him to get his first victory. But it was a good one. He went 5 2/3 innings, gave up 3 hits, 2 infield singles, only 1 run against a very good Padres lineup. Padres are scuffling a little bit this season themselves, but it was nice to see Taillon do that. Nice to see Dansby Swanson, who's having a terrific season, come through in the clutch. The bullpen, which has been up and down, inconsistent. The pitching lab has been, you know, closed for construction and then reopened and then closed again and then reopened. But Alzolay, Mark Leiter Jr. did their jobs last night, Bruce. I look at the Cubs with a little bit more encouragement, because I think there's more obvious examples and evidence of a plan. They're trying to retain their core guys. They went out and spent money in free agency. They've got young talent on the way. And whenever that happens, as we continue to point out in Chicago, in sports, when you have young prospects where the best is ahead of them, it makes you feel better about what you're watching in the present, because you feel better about the future.
Yeah, it's great points. You know, they are developing their bullpen as the games go on. Julian Merriweather has been outstanding for them over the last 2 weeks. He's just been unhittable. He's thrown the ball 98 to 100, and he's got a nasty breaking ball. Those are the kind of arms that you have to have at the end. As you explained with Alzolay, you have to have power arms at the end to win. Leiter has, he's a dominant pitcher with a splitter. That's probably 50% of the time he's thrown a splitter. You need those power arms to win. And if Merriweather and Alzolay continue to move on, that bullpen has a chance to be good, maybe not great. And then you have Cody Hoyer that everybody's depending on down the road here to be a part. Maybe we're seeing a developmental situation at the major league level with the Cubs, and maybe they're going to be a better team for it. You get Bellinger back, hopefully Steele, and that's another story we're going to cover here on Inside the Clubhouse, is not hurt for a long time, and he continues to be one of the more dominant pitchers in the National League. You know, again, a lot of moving parts with the Cubs. That shows they can be better. Their offense is still short. David, in short, what the Cubs have lacked, power arms and power bats. Okay.
And they missed that stud in the middle of the lineup. Like you pointed out, the White Sox need their star. So do the Cubs. They need to go out and get that guy, whether it's Shohei Ohtani or whoever else we can dream. But until they get that guy, you're going to miss him. And you mentioned Justin Steele. And when I'm asked about how you feel about the Cubs this season, which is what we're addressing here in the first segment, I think that the answer to that question hinges on his reliability, his availability. And I think that you were in front of this on Friday afternoon. Justin Steele left the game the other night after facing nine batters and getting all of them out for the Tampa Bay Rays. And he had left forearm tightness. Bruce, what is the latest with Justin Steele, and how much encouragement did you find in Friday's news?
There was a sense of relief coming out of the Cub front offices and David Ross in the coaches area, knowing that the MRI didn't show any structural or real damage there. Saw some inflammation, going to miss at least a start. They might put him, on the IL. They can do that, you know, retro to Thursday after he didn't pitch. So, again, the designation between the ILs, very different now, David. 15-day IL for pitchers, 10-day IL for hitters or, you know, position players. So will he miss one or two starts? Okay. Do you protect him another start, David?
Yes.
Knowing that he's a franchise pitcher, okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Bruce, there's no hesitation there. I mean, this is a guy that whether he has emerged, whatever he's making, he is one of your prized assets. A left-handed starter that's been as good as anybody in baseball his last 20 starts. You've got to do whatever is necessary to make sure that you're not rushing him back to the mound. And I know they will do that. I sense they will do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the common sense thing. And whether he's an older pitcher or it's your young valuable pitcher, you're always, you know, executive's going to tell you, hey, we're going to do the right thing for the pitcher, okay? It's not always the case, you know, it's you know, but in this situation, you know, they're going to be extra cautious with the guy, and they're going to have a little bit more control. People forget, David, that when you go on the IL, okay, and then you're off the IL, and but the team wants you to stay, and you say, I'm ready, they have no choice. They must activate you when you tell them you're ready off of the IL, unless you have an understanding with the team, the trainers, the medical people. It's not the call of the team. It's the call of the player.
I think they have to have a conversation, and you need to reinforce Steele with some rest, because that is the best medicine right now. And I'm relieved at your news. I was yesterday when you put it up out there on 670score.com, because I still won't feel totally relieved, I think, until he pitches again. Because, Bruce, let's face it, Cody Bellinger, that was supposed to be a couple days. Boom, it's a month. Nico Horner, well, you know what, he might come back right away. Boom, IL. I don't know about these early prognoses, so I wonder about Justin Steele until I see Justin Steele back on the mound.
I agree with you 100%. It. One start could end up being three starts. Three starts can end up being 3 weeks, okay? It could be that much. You know, you don't know. Right now, they're just the very good news is that there's no structural damage. There is some inflammation, and they're gonna watch it. And hopefully he's going to be all right. But again, the way that they look at things now and the way that the medical people handle it and the teams handle it, you know, one injury like a bone bruise to Bellinger is going to end up being 30 days.
I know.
I mean, it was a nasty crash into a wall. He came down funky on his left leg, and the knee, you know, bruised because of it. You know, it could have been a lot worse, but they have really been impacted offensively not just his production, David, but just his presence in the lineup makes that lineup, you know, one run, two runs. I mean, how many runs have they scored in the last four or five games? You know, it's and they've won half of them, but, you know, they're scoring two or one run a night.
Score listener lines powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. That's where we find Mike in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. And Bruce, I'll be grumpy if you can't be this morning. You guys both are accurate about the White Sox, but there's a long-term issue and a short-term issue in play. The short-term issue is that Dylan Cease doesn't return to form today against the Tigers, the team he used to own. I don't want to hear anything more about our all-star pitching rotation because he's been awful this year. He's been awful since the first outing in spring training, as you'll remember, and there's something wrong with this guy. And if we can't fix him, it's going to be a long year. But the longer issue goes back to last night, not the win, but the crowd. Beautiful night, what, 75 degrees at the ballpark. It's a divisional opponent, and we barely draw 20,000 people. Sox fans are smart. As you've said many times over the years of this program, they won't buy, unlike the Cubs and Cub fans, they don't accept bad baseball. And all the futility that, David, you and Mully have been talking about all week long about the hopelessness of how to fix this, the only way the Sox fans can push back is not to show up and not to be able to go to not wanting to enjoy a Friday night at the ballpark on a beautiful summer night. I don't know if Mr. Reinsdorf listens. I certainly don't know if Mr. Williams listens. But I think that speaks loudly to the intelligence and sensitivity and baseball knowledge of the Sox fan. We won't pay to see bad baseball.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. As always, Bruce, you talked to Kenny yesterday. How would you describe the level of frustration in the front office, maybe even at the ownership level, with what the Sox have been unable to do this season?
Huge. Kenny Williams doesn't pull any punches. It's on his face. It's in his conversation. You know, he said, yeah, of course we're better. That's still not good enough. We built this team to win. We expect to win, okay? And that's it. And I applaud him and Rick Hahn for their thoughts on that. Pedro Grifol talked yesterday again about, hey, you know, we have to play better baseball. You know, we have played better in May. That's still not where we want to be. We want to be a consistent team. And, you know, again, the White Sox have not been that, but they have been better. And, again, in a bad division, they will win the division. Kenny said flat out to me yesterday, look, we're going to win this division, okay? That's how we look at it here, okay? Hmm. Are we going to be a great team when we get in? Well, at least we'll have a chance. If we get in, we're going to have a chance, okay? So that's how the White Sox are looking at it. I don't, at this time, expect them to be sellers. I expect them to be buyers at the deadline.
Wow.
If they continue to play better.
You can't say that on June 3rd, Bruce. You can't say that on June 3rd. Can you? Really?
I'll be able to say it on July 1st.
I don't know that they're going to be in a position to be that. I don't know if that would be the wisest path given what they are, where they are, and then what the standings are. Is winning the division, and is that the smartest thing to do, to go out and be a buyer at the deadline if you have assets other people want?
It's different than 1997, okay? There were less playoff teams then, right? So the white flag doesn't come out quite as quick, or maybe is not as prevalent as it was in 1997 when they made a huge trade, trading three veteran pitchers away, ending up getting a Bobby Howry and Keith Foulke in that deal that set them up to win a division in 2000.
You know who probably remembers that well? Ken Hawk Harrelson, our next guest. He will join us on Inside the Clubhouse. Hawk is going to be on the score. Mercy. Bruce Levine, David Haw, it's Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score.
He gone. Stretch. You can put it on the board. Yes.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
So many catchphrases, so many words that Hawk Harrelson has given the game of baseball.
The mic.
The ball hit high and deep. Stretch. At the wall. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes.
Deep in the left center field. Wise back.
Makes the catch. Wise makes the catch. What a play by Wise. Mercy. He gone. Alexei.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
So many great memories there. The voice is familiar. And so is our next guest. We go to our guest hotline sponsored by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Here in Inside the Clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine, we welcome in Ken Hawk Harrelson. How are you doing this morning, Hawk?
Good morning, guys. Just sitting here watching Coco Gauff. She's my favorite tennis player. She beat her opponent. I've gotten to where I love to watch tennis.
How about baseball, Hawk? What do you think when you're watching the White Sox play baseball this year? How would you describe them to this point of a season that's been somewhat disappointing?
Well, as I said, I love to watch tennis. It had not been pretty. You know, it's a shame, too. You know, people really have gotten the wrong impression about Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, calling him cheap and everything else. I think we have the eighth highest payroll in all of baseball. We spent almost $200.
Welcome in. Ken Hawk Harrelson. How are you doing this morning, Hawk?
Good morning, guys. Just sitting here watching Coco Gauff. She's my favorite tennis player. She beat her opponent. I've gotten to where I love to watch tennis.
How about baseball, Hawk? What do you think when you're watching the White Sox play baseball this year? How would you describe them to this point of a season that's been somewhat disappointing?
Well, as I said, I love to watch tennis. It had not been pretty. You know, it's a shame, too. You know, people really have gotten the wrong impression about Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, calling him cheap and everything else. I think we have the eighth highest payroll in all of baseball. We spent almost we got a payroll of almost $200 million. And it's just been, you know, it's been an underachieving, overpaid, underachieving team. It's just that simple.
I mean, you were frustrated earlier in the year. You came on with AJ a little bit. And again, Dave and I really appreciate having you on. It's great hearing your voice, buddy. What were your frustrations like when they asked you about Jerry Selling? Because it was so contrary to, you know, normally, you know, the way that you and him have been pretty much seeing things the same way for about 40 years.
Well, it's just a myriad of things that's, you know, that's going on that when you got a payroll like we have and the guys, what really it boils down to, in my opinion, is agents. It's become an agent-run organization to the degree that agents are controlling baseball now. You know, the most powerful man in baseball is not Manfred, the commissioner. The most powerful man is Scott Boras. Last year, his stable of athletes' combined salary was $2.2 billion. $2.2 billion. This year, he's already passed that. So he controls so much. And we, if you notice, we got a lot of guys that, if they just bump into a wall, they go on the DL. And if I was an agent, I'd be doing the same thing, especially with pitchers, to extend their shelf life. And I've never seen a team with many DLs as the White Sox have had this year. I mean, it's just one right after the other. And what it boils down to, really, in my opinion, watching from afar, is we really just don't have any leaders on the ball club. I thought Tim Anderson had a chance to be that. I thought he had a chance to be our Derek Jeter. And it has not turned out that way. So in order to win on a consistent basis, you have to have one or two leaders on the ball club. And we just don't have that.
Hawk, how is your relationship now with the Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf? And I ask that only because when you said on AJ's podcast that he should sell the White Sox, I wondered where that came from. I wondered how realistic it is, because we have been saying that in different forms and fashions over the years. But to hear it out of your mouth, I think it resonated a little bit more because of who you are and your proximity to Jerry. So what was the purpose of saying that, and how much do you believe that it actually could happen?
Well, first of all, let me just say that I've met, you know, in my career, I done a lot of things and been a lot of places and met a lot of people, from presidents to vice presidents, you know, to movie stars and everything else. I said that because I was worried about Jerry's health. You know, he's got a bad baseball team. He's got a bad basketball team, and he really loves baseball. I mean, Jerry is a baseball nut, and I never met a man in my whole career that I have more respect for, and actually love. I love Jerry like a big brother, and I said that I was concerned about Jerry because of the way he loves the White Sox, but by his health, and I still am. You know, he goes to all the games, and you know, he's 86 years old now, and that's the reason I said it, David. I was just concerned for his health, and I really would like to see Jerry in a more compatible environment, so to speak, than he is in right now.
Maybe you should watch a little more tennis.
Well, you know, it's just amazing how many, you know, you can. Pedro, I hadn't seen anything wrong with Pedro. I don't know Pedro. I never met him. Never heard of him until they hired him. You know, but watching him manage a baseball game, I hadn't seen anything. He can only play with what he's got. And he hadn't had a whole bunch this year, let's face it. You know, he doesn't know who's going to be on the DL when he goes to the ballpark. And it's just disheartening. And I feel bad for the Sox fans, because I love our Sox fans. I mean, I really do. It's just, and I miss them. It's just something that I feel real bad about. I have, when I go to the grocery store, you know, for a home here in Indiana, excuse me, or a home in Orlando, when I go to the golf course, what's wrong with our socks? What's wrong with our socks? You know, and I just tell them we suck. It's just that simple. Pedro doesn't have a, when he goes, he's got a guessing game on who to play that day.
Yeah. Hawk, you called me late last year, and you said to me, you know, and you knew me and my family were going through some things, and he said, hey, Bruce, do me a big favor. He said, do not retire from your job. If you have the ability to continue to work, continue to work. And I know talking to you over the last couple of years, you know, you talked about what your days are like and, you know, having to move on, you know, and going to retirement, you know, all the things that have been. What are your thoughts about that? And, you know, I know you and your family, you know, once you got in the Hall of Fame, it was good to go on to retirement. But what are your thoughts about that and having left the White Sox? I mean, do you really think you should have stayed longer?
Well, you know, that's, as I said on AJ's podcast, I was retired. I didn't retire. I was retired. And I didn't see it coming. I really didn't. But the thing about it is, as I said, you know, I was in broadcasting, you know, for 42 years, and it was, you know, 30-something years with the Sox. And you know, the biggest part of my life, really. And it's still there. I watch as much as I can, and I listen to as much as I can. I've always thought, as you know, Bruce, I've always thought that baseball is a radio game.
Right.
And I know when Drysdale and I were working together, we were going back and forth. You know, we go three on TV, three on radio, and come back for the last three on TV. And it was a lot more fun doing radio because, you know, I just love our radio broadcast because of the fact, you know, those guys, DJ and those guys, they put you right in the ballpark. And that's what a good announcer does on radio. They put you, if you're driving or wherever, they put you right in the ballpark. That's the reason, you know, you had so many good radio announcers. And it's just more fun doing it from an announcing standpoint. But what I do now is I watch a lot of TV. I watch, you know, Walker, Texas Ranger. I watch Gunsmoke. I watch Judge Judy. You know, I sit on my ass all day and watch TV because I hadn't played golf in almost 5 years. I got bad wrists. I just had swung the heaviest bat in the American League. I swung a 40-ounce bat. And I've had five of the best hand doctors in the country look at it. And they all said exactly the same thing. Said, Hawk, you just wore them out. And Arnold Palmer used to get on me about that because I took a divot about a foot long and about 2 inches, 3 inches deep. And he told me every time we'd play, and we played for 30 years there, every time we'd play, he'd say, one of these days it's going to get you. And it did. And I, as I said, I haven't played a round of golf. I hadn't played a hole of golf in almost 5 years. So it's my best friend right now is my iPad, iPhone, and the TV.
Hawk, I just want to be clear and follow up here because obviously you're a legend. You're in the Hall of Fame, and your voice is synonymous with so many White Sox memories and so many great, great seasons on the South Side. Before you left the booth, did somebody from the White Sox front office, from ownership, tell you that you could no longer continue as the voice of the White Sox?
No, I think what happened, it was a situation that I had mentioned on a radio show. I don't know. It wasn't yours. I forget who it was. It could have been somebody in Dubuque, Iowa, or L.A., whoever, that they have talked to me about, you know, how much longer I wanted to broadcast. And I mentioned something about possibly retiring in that radio. And I think what happened was that by me saying that, I put Jerry and the Sox in a position to where they thought I was going to retire. And that's when they went out and they hired, you know, Jason. While I was still working. And it was just an uncomfortable position that I put them into, I think. And that was the reason that they did that. And then when they said that, you know, they had hired another guy who was Jason, then I knew that I was going to be, you know, replaced. It wasn't all bitter at all. There's nothing bitter about it. It was just something that I think I caused myself.
How about making a comeback?
No, thank you. I'm enjoying my grandkids, and I'll tell you what, it's just I got almost 50 years that I've married my beautiful Greek wife, Eris, and I'm starting to, you know, two years ago, I fell into a thing of, hey, you know, this is not bad, it's retirement business. But a lot of times, especially in certain games I'll be watching, and I get the urge to, you know, to have a microphone in front of me and talk about it, because I really think that what's happened in the game of baseball, it's a different game today. You know, first of all, doing a 3-2 or 4-3 ball game, that's easy. What in television, the tough games to do are when there's 10-1, 12-3, or whatever. That's the reason Euchre to me is today right. The best. You know, he's the best radio broadcaster going, because he can handle those games so well. You know, and that's the secret to being a good radio broadcaster is holding the audience and still making it entertaining for them. So that's where a lot of the stuff that I did, you know, as far as catchphrases and stuff like that came into play, because I used to do that as a player. I'd be in right field in Fenway Park, you know, and Jim Lomborg or whoever was pitching for us would punch out, you know, Harmon Killebrew or Mickey Mantle, and I'd say, "Hey, gone," you know. And get some other SOB up there. You know, it's just, Hawk, it was fun. We had fun in this game. Our guys don't have a whole bunch of fun.
I got a solution, my friend. It's going to solve your problem. It's going to, all the listeners who still yearn to hear you out there, it's going to solve that problem. It's going to be the Hawk Harrelson podcast, okay, with assorted co-hosts, okay? Because you still have a lot to say, and you're not afraid to say it. And I think baseball still needs you out there, Hawk. So, David and I wish you nothing but the best. Thank you for coming on and sharing with us. Thanks for straightening out that Jerry Reinsdorf situation, which was all about you saying it was about his health, not about that he's too old to own a ball club. I think it's you clarified that. And the best to Eris and the family. Give our love to them. And I think the podcast is your solution and salvation, my friend.
Sounded great, Hawk.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, guys, is that I get more fan mail now than when I was broadcasting. It's amazing how much fan I get, buckets of fan mail, and I answer them all. And when I go back to Orlando, I couldn't even bring them all up here. And when I go back to Orlando, I'll finish, responding to them all. And it's just you know, again, it's just a different game today, and I love it. I love it more probably now than I did when I was playing or broadcasting.
Thanks so much, Hawk. Have a great day and weekend, and we appreciate your time.
Okay.
Ken Hawk Harrelson right here on Inside the Clubhouse. A lot to react to, Bruce, and we will do that when we come back here. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was a really interesting interview with Ken Hall Carlson, Bruce. I think there were a couple things there that, you know, when we talked about, when you suggested having Hawk on, selling the team, which he was quoted as saying Jerry Reinsdorf should do on the AJ Pierzynski Foul Territory podcast, and that was something to explore, as was, you know, the contention that he was pushed out of the booth, which is the way that we left it. So I'm glad he addressed both of those things. What was your reaction to what your good friend had to say?
Well, he said the White Sox suck, so that was...
That's not exactly breaking news.
I think that was...
That's gradual.
Well, yeah.
That's an ongoing series.
Hawk saying that he struggles to be able to watch it, you know, that was... I thought that was telling. But I think he wanted to clarify the situation with Jerry, you know, because, as he said... Their relationship has been great over the years, they've been pretty supportive of each other. That doesn't mean that Jerry hasn't had to call him into the office a few times over the years, you know, with the umpires and other situations, and say, hey, you have to apologize or cool it, or, you know, him and Bud Selig had to pull Hawk aside about 7 or 8 years ago and say, hey, look, you have to make a direct apology to the umpires that you offended here, okay? Hmm. You've offended people directly, and you've got to do it. And he did. This is maybe 10 years ago now, when right at the end of the time when Bud was still the commissioner of baseball. So from all that, I just take it as when people get to the age of 80 and they still feel they have the desire to work and contribute, that there's between lunchtime and dinner time, you can't fill that time, okay? That's just an impossibility, and people feel isolated. I think Hawk feels isolated in the retirement of that time in between, whether he would be going to the ballpark, whether he'd be on a show, whether he'd be doing his prep for a game. Those are things that you get excited about that helps you get missing in his life. And a lot of people who get to retirement age life, they have trouble filling the afternoon hours.
From an analysis perspective, when he referred to Tim Anderson, and you could hear the disappointment in his mm-hmm. voice for what Tim Anderson has not become, I think a lot of people had high hopes at the beginning of this season that maybe Tim Anderson, because of the World Baseball Classic experience and exposure and the way that he handled that moment, thought he was going to be, all right, hitting reset in 2023. Hawk's disappointment in Tim Anderson, I think, is reflective of the way many fans view TA at this point in time. Do you agree or not?
I do. I asked Kenny about Anderson. He said, well, he's healthy enough to play, but he's not 100%. So from that perspective, we haven't seen that. And Hawk said it very succinctly, David. The White Sox appear to lack leadership, and Tim Anderson was at the very least the face of the Chicago White Sox from what would you say from 2019 through 2018 through 21.
The bat flip mentality, changing the game, all the things that were embraced,
he did a lot of that. I mean, he showed not only leadership as a White Sox player, but leadership in the game of saying, hey, oh, all you stodgy old guys who say this is the way it has to be done, move over, man. It's a new day. I'm a part of that new day. I'm bursting out of here. I think a lot of people, including myself, enjoyed the idea that this guy was saying, hey, there's a modern baseball. I play it. I play it at a high level. You're going to have to get used to it and enjoy it. And I was. But with injuries and with some of the things that Tim has had to go through off the field, it's really changed him. And I think the desire is still there for him. I just think the joy of the game, the way he played it, is somehow missing.
I'd like to know from his vantage point. I'd like to hear in his words what exactly has happened, and maybe he's not comfortable to address that. Maybe it is none of our business, but something about Tim Anderson seems to have changed in the way that he does embrace those moments, embraces his role as a leader on the White Sox, and I think it goes beyond the injuries that he's had to deal with. But I think it also is interesting to hear Hawk say about the leadership, no leadership on the White Sox, and say he's not met Pedro Grifol. And Pedro Grifol, Bruce, is going to get his share of criticism, and you talk to him about that, which sets up our next segment, Chin Music.
Yeah, and again, David, it's what you and I talked about at the beginning of our show. There's no Harper. There's no Machado. There's no leadership on this team. You know, so they're missing that. Hawk identified it, and we're willing to listen to you as well, 312-644-6767. Looking forward to some Chin Music, David.
Yes, because Pedro Grifol gave us something to react to. Both managers in Chicago get their share of criticism. And we'll talk about what that means and what's appropriate and maybe what crosses a line next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
A little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We will do that when we come back here. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was a really interesting interview with Ken Hawk Harrelson, Bruce. I think there were a couple things there that, you know, when we talked about, when you suggested having Hawk on, selling the team, which he was quoted as saying Jerry Reinsdorf should do on the AJ Pierzynski Foul Territory podcast, and that was something to explore, as was, you know, the contention that he was pushed out of the booth, which is the way that we left it. So I'm glad he addressed both of those things. What was your reaction to what your good friend had to say?
Well, he said the White Sox suck. So that was...
That's not exactly breaking news.
I think that was...
That's gradual.
Well, yeah,
that's an ongoing
Hawk
series.
Hawk saying that he struggles to be able to watch it, you know, that was... I thought that was telling, but I think he wanted to clarify the situation with Jerry, you know, because as he said, their relationship has been great over the years, they've been pretty supportive of each other. That doesn't mean that Jerry hasn't had to call him into the office a few times over the years, you know, with the umpires and other situations, and say, hey, you have to apologize or cool it, or, you know, him and Bud Selig had to pull Hawk aside about 7 or 8 years ago and say, hey, look, you have to make a direct apology to the umpires that you offended here. Okay. You've offended people directly, and you've got to do it. And he did. This is maybe 10 years ago now, when right at the end of the time when Bud was still the commissioner of baseball. So from all that, I just take it as when people get to the age of 80 and they still feel they have the desire to work and contribute, that there's between lunchtime and dinner time, you can't fill that time, okay? That's just an impossibility, and people feel isolated. I think Hawk feels isolated in the retirement of that time in between, whether he would be going to the ballpark, whether he'd be on a show, whether he'd be doing his prep for a game. Those are things that you get excited about that helps you get missing in his life. And a lot of people who get to retirement age life, they have trouble filling the afternoon hours.
From an analysis perspective, when he referred to Tim Anderson, and you could hear the disappointment in his voice for what Tim Anderson has not become, I think a lot of people had high hopes at the beginning of this season that maybe Tim Anderson, because of the World Baseball Classic experience and exposure and the way that he handled that moment, thought he was going to be, all right, hitting reset in 2023. Hawk's disappointment in Tim Anderson, I think, is reflective of the way many fans view TA at this point in time. Do you agree or not?
I do. I asked Kenny about Anderson. He said, well, he's healthy enough to play, but he's not 100%. So from that perspective, we haven't seen that. And Hawk said it very succinctly, David. The White Sox appear to lack leadership. And Tim Anderson was, at the very least, the face of the Chicago White Sox from, what would you say, from 2019 through 2018 through 21?
The bat flip mentality, changing the game, yeah. All the things that were embraced.
And he did a lot of that. I mean, yes. He showed not only leadership as a White Sox player, but leadership in the game of saying, hey, all you stodgy old guys who say this is the way it has to be done, move over, man. It's a new day. I'm a part of that new day. I'm bursting out of here. I think a lot of people, including myself, enjoyed the idea that this guy was saying, hey, there's a modern baseball. I play it. I play it at a high level. You're going to have to get used to it and enjoy it. And I was. But with injuries and with some of the things that Tim has had to go through off the field, it's really changed him. And I think the desire is still there for him. I just think the joy of the game, the way he played it, is somehow missing.
I'd like to know, from his vantage point, I'd like to hear in his words what exactly has happened. And maybe he's not comfortable to address that. Maybe it is none of our business. But something about Tim Anderson seems to have changed in the way that he does embrace those moments, embraces his role as a leader on the White Sox. And I think it goes beyond the injuries that he's had to deal with. But I think it also is interesting to hear Hawk say about the leadership, no leadership on the White Sox, and say he's not met Pedro Grifol. And Pedro Grifol, Bruce, is going to get his share of criticism. And you talk to him about that, which sets up our next segment, Chin Music.
Yeah, and again, David, it's what you and I talked about at the beginning of our show. There's no Harper. There's no Machado. There's no leadership on this team. They're missing that. Hawk identified it, and we're willing to listen to you as well. 312-644-6767. Looking forward to some Chin Music, David.
Yes, because Pedro Grifol gave us something to react to. Both managers in Chicago get their share of criticism. And we'll talk about what that means and what's appropriate and maybe what crosses a line next on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Roll out.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Mylo's Rewards or a Mylo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.